Yeah, to explain, and I'm going to speak in English, like to explain one of the challenges that we are facing as educators or activists engaged against racism and for liberation here in the context of Switzerland, but more generally in continental Europe. Maybe I can start. I want to tell a little anecdote about the fact that since I was born, I knew about the Haitian Revolution or the Haitian independence, because this is a story that if you are born in a Haitian, like if you have Haitian parents or relatives, you are going to eat the soup of independence and you are going to learn about this history from basically when you can actually speak. And so I grew up with a very vivid awareness of the importance of this revolution for a world history, but there was nothing about it in my whole curriculum, going from primary school until university, higher education. So I think I tell this anecdote to show how there people coming from the history, like descendant of colonized black people in Europe, are actually epistemically resourceful people and subjects, and they have this vernacular knowledge in their home about histories of struggle and liberation, about concepts of liberation, but those are never reflected in public discourses, or are very poorly reflected in public discourses and schools. And I think one of the challenges is to actually really that this specific and located knowledge should be recognized as very serious and an important contribution in general for knowledge about not just racism, but in general knowledge about democracy and values as equality or freedom that are like, that I hope remain central to our Western democracies, but this is also a question politically right now. So I think this lack of recognition in general of like minoritized, racially minoritized subjects as epistemically resourceful subjects, this explains that there is a lack of resources for them, both in school system, but also in general in institutional enterprise. And this explains why, for instance, after 15 years working in the university and teaching a course on black critical theories, as my contract came to an end, the course was just canceled. The students asked for it to be renewed, but the university did not understand that there is value in such theories and that those are not just, let's say, kind of ghettoized realm of knowledge, that they are actually contributing to world history and world global understanding of the challenges that we face as societies. So that's a huge challenge, this lack of recognition and resources of this specific knowledge, and explain that there is no mainstreaming, as my colleague was saying, here in the context of Switzerland and in general in Western Europe, continental Europe. To my knowledge, the only Department of Black Studies is the one led by Professor Kehinde Andrews. There is no other Department of Black Studies with resources and sustainability on the continent of Europe. So that tells a lot. So that's the first challenge. And then another challenge is actually the violence that impacts specifically people of color and black people that are taking public positions and that are active in the realm of anti-racism. And this is physical violence. Like right now, the far right groups and neo-Nazi groups are attacking physically people and are threatening the lives of people who take positions against racism in public debates in Europe. So those are physical, but also virtual. There is online harassment. And there is a lack of strong protection of those groups and people who take positions by their collectivities and their estates, actually. So that's a challenge, just to be able to survive while doing this work is right now a challenge in Europe. And a third challenge that I'd like to put forward is the need for a better solidarity between racialized minorities who have European passports and the form of racism and exclusion that are affecting migrants coming to Europe. I think we need to do a better job in actually linking together the issues of racism, anti-black racism, the history of colonialism, as it affects people with who have residencies and citizenship in the European space, and migrant people, and how those actually intersect. I was giving the example of black men who died under the hand of police in Switzerland, and those were both men with Swiss passports, but also a lot of them were considered as illegal migrants. So I think here we need a better articulation of, for instance, when it comes to anti-black racism, we need a better articulation of these two special positions and social positions, and better solidarity. And coming to success stories, I think that right now, one success that I see is that thanks to the mobilization and the movements led by people of color and black people in Europe, I cannot speak for all the context, but I think that in Switzerland, for instance, in Germany, in the Netherlands, it has become complicated for media to, for instance, forecast show about racism or anti-racism without inviting people of color and black people, because that was the case no longer ago. You could have a white room talking about racism and colonialism without any black voices or brown voices. So at least now this has become quite unacceptable, but it remains to see if it will last. So that's, to me, a good achievement. And another achievement is that there is an intersectionalization within movement that are not focusing on racism. So for instance, here in Switzerland, the feminist strike is taking on issues of anti-racism and colonialism. They are putting it in their declaration. So this is the big feminist social movement in Switzerland. There was the feminist strike 1 week ago, and now this strike is actually taking up issues of colonialism and racism and not evacuating them. Then that does not mean that it's centering those issues and that it's centering the gender minorities of color or women of color, but at least those issues are present, they are not absent. So I think that's a success.
Okay, thank you very much.